Hello and welcome to Paranormal or What podcast with me, your host, Michaela Ford. Hello, paranormal peeps. Happy New Year. So, what has the new year got in store for you? Well, I'm hoping to do all sorts of spooky things. I've got some sessions booked in at my haunted hotel. I'm hoping to go to Stoke Museum at some point in the year to get scary, and off to poke around several spooky forests. Let's keep this spooky this year. Sorry, my voice is cracking because I've got a little bit of a croak, and I bet quite a few of you have as well. So if you're not feeling very well, here's a big paranormal hug from me. So this week, it's a bit of a short episode just to get going for the new year. I have one of my paranormal stories from when I lived in a house, a brand new house in Halifax, and pretty spooky goings on happened there. So I'm going to tell you about that. And then we have an entry from a listener, Paramike, my good friend, is calling in to tell us about his paranormal episode. So don't forget that you need to call in and leave your paranormal stories for me and send it to paranormalpodcast@outlook.com. I will be on later to tell you the telephone number if you would like to leave a voice message. So without further ado, here's my spooky house haunting.
Hi Michaela. So my story comes from a number of years ago when I was working in the motor industry. I used to work in a parts department, so sort of goods in, goods out. And I was basically left to run the department by myself this day. And I was in the process of locking up. And the main door into the department had a sort of a circular or oval shaped window in it. And where I say this was a number of years ago, this was before I was really believed in and or interested in anything paranormal. And I'd worked here for a number of years as well and hadn't had anything paranormal happen up to this point. And I sort of stepped outside of the department to lock up. The door used to take forever to close, so I was basically stood there waiting for it to swing shut so I could lock the door and go home for the evening. And as the door sort of was swinging closed, I saw what looked like a person, a youngish man, maybe about 5'7", 5'8", walk a little bit in the department, then turn a corner into an office we had, which was out of view of through the hole in the main door or the window in the main door. And it was one of those moments where I sort of realised it, didn't think much of it, locked the door, took sort of two steps away from the door and then thought, I need to go back and check that, because if that's someone like hidden in the department, they're going to steal all of our stuff and I'm going to be responsible for it. So I went back, unlocked the door, flicked the light on, walked up to my manager's office as it was, looked in, and there was absolutely no one in there. And as I say, nothing had happened prior to this. I'd worked there for a number of years. I was the only one in the department that day or that evening, so I was locking up alone. It was before I believed in anything really paranormal necessarily, and it was one of those weird moments where it was just like, since getting into the paranormal, thinking back to it and going, oh yeah, that was a very odd moment. Maybe not potentially scary, but it was something that left me scratching my head for quite some time.
So this is an account of a haunted house I lived in with my friend in a small estate in Halifax in West Yorkshire. In 1992, I moved into a rented house with my friend. We felt lucky as it was a new build and we had very nice neighbours. On our plot, there were only two sets of semi-detached houses next to a quaint little church and opposite a small park. From the moment we moved in, strange things began to happen. I constantly felt uneasy in the house and often asked my boyfriend at the time to stay over. It started with small things, the odd misplaced item, lost keys and doors seemingly left unlocked. Then we noticed there were noises in other rooms when only one of us was in the house. At first we put it down to being forgetful and hearing the neighbours in the adjoining house. But then we started to hear someone running up and down the stairs on a regular basis. But no one was there. Now, I should probably let you know the layout of the house for clarification. It was a tiny, semi-detached house. Downstairs, there was an open-plan lounge with a galley kitchen next to it. No hallway. The front door opened directly into the lounge. Upstairs, there were two small bedrooms and a bathroom in the middle. Everywhere in the house was a matter of a few feet away from the next room. From the lounge, you could clearly hear everything that was happening in the house. Next, we both started to experience hearing the other person coming home before they actually did. One night in particular, I'd been out with my boyfriend on a Saturday night and had gone to bed. I clearly heard my friend arrive in a taxi outside the house. Mine was the front bedroom. Then the key turned in the front door. Door closed, someone walked across the living room, up the stairs and into the back bedroom where the door closed. Half an hour later, a taxi pulled up, the door slammed, key in the door, footsteps up the stairs, just the same as before. I called out, "What are you playing at? Why do you keep coming in and out?" My friend sounded confused. "I haven't," she replied. "I just came back now." The next weird event was when the ghost decided to do the washing up in the middle of the night. Several times we were woken up by crashing and banging sounds coming from the kitchen in the small hours. We could hear plates and pots clanking against each other and against the sink, just like washing up. Inevitably, when someone went down to investigate, all would fall silent and no washing up had been done, sadly. Often, I would wake up in the middle of the night to see a strange shadow on my bedroom wall. It was in the shape of a 1940s woman's face, with a fringe across her right eye and a smoking cigarette in her mouth. It was strange because I never got to the bottom of how it was formed. I often got out of bed and put my hand in front of the curtain and the shadow and put my hand in front of the face to see if I could see what caused it. I never found out. It just felt like it was watching me and it was always there. The final event before we moved out was one evening when my mum came round to the house. My boyfriend and I had got dressed up for my staff Christmas party and my mum popped round to take photos of us. She took the photos with a Minolta film camera and we got them developed soon after the party. It was very strange because all of the photos of me had interference on the pictures, but only around me, not my boyfriend. Some photos of me were totally ruined, with big streaks of red or white light across them. One photo had a big black smudge across my face, and several had circles of light around me. Fascinatingly, the ones with spirals of red and white light around me actually twisted right around my body, from back to front again. You could see that they went around the back and came around the front. They weren't just across the photo. I was so intrigued that I sent them off to a TV programme called Schofield's Quest for Philip Schofield. Any of you who's old enough might remember that. To be analysed by their resident parapsychologist, the late great Maurice Gross, who had been the resident investigator in the Enfield poltergeist case, I learned later. Gross wrote notes with my photo to the tune of how the anomalies were clearly not caused by photographic errors, and his opinion was that it was a good example and possibly paranormal. Paranormal, here's a new thing for you. Possibly paranormal and maybe of poltergeist origin. Just before we moved out of the house, we learned from our neighbours that our four houses were built on hastily raised ground, which had originally belonged to the church next door. They'd actually been built on the graveyard, the gravestones having been removed, but the bodies underneath had remained, due to a mixture of the age of the graves and lack of objections from relatives of the deceased and the impatience of the building company to put up the houses. We also learned that the graves on which our houses had been built were from the unconsecrated part of the churchyard at the end of the graveyard, which might be an explanation for the unusual occurrences. Obviously, the church did not think that those graves were quite as important. So what do you think? It was really typical poltergeist activity. And the strange thing was that when I moved into the next house, nothing happened. So nothing had come with me as far as I could tell. So that was a mystery. Tune in for the next story of my long string of haunted houses that I've lived in. I think I'm just attracted to them. Cheers! This is an encounter by a Redditor named SouthAfrica_5944, the Italian lady that haunted our old house. When I was younger, my mum and I moved to Australia from South Africa when I was 7. We moved into this cute small cottage in a popular neighbourhood. The house was old and a few areas were quite rusted. I remember that I would never go into the living room because it always terrified me. There was always some creepy, eerie aura in that room. About a few months into living in that house, I would wake up in the middle of the night due to loud, awful sounds coming from the kitchen. It sounded like pots and pans crashing into each other. I walked into the kitchen and there was nothing there, so I went back to bed. This happened every day. A few days after, my mum and I were talking about the weird noises when my mum said something that sent chills down my spine. "Can you see her too?" Those were the exact words my mum said. She told me she could see an old Italian lady in the kitchen hitting pots and pans together, furious, yelling at us to get out of her house. A month later, still hearing those sounds, my mum and I were meeting our neighbour at a coffee shop. My mum asked her if by any chance there was an old Italian lady that used to live in our house. Our neighbour then said, "How did you know? She died in the house before you moved in." We were petrified. My mum then saw the lady again at night. She was more angry than ever. My mum told me the next morning that she told the lady we're kind and safe people and we will protect her house. We never saw her again, and the living room was no longer eerie or creepy. To this day, I still don't understand how this happened. And one of the replies was really, really interesting by Taunton Lake. "I had this phenomenon happen once when I was living in a rented apartment for about 6 months. I'd found a nice looking pen in a huge bag of hoarded pens in a closet that I assumed the previous tenant had just left behind. So I took it to my room upstairs to write some stuff down in a notebook. I was alone in the apartment at the time. About half an hour after taking the pen, I began to hear the most god-awful racket downstairs. Sounded like in the kitchen, that a whole cacophony of pots and pans had been thrown around the room. It went on for about 10 minutes and was so bad there was no way in hell I was going downstairs to check it out. It finally slowed down and stopped, and I stayed where I was for about 15 minutes. I finally got brave enough to emerge and go downstairs. Nothing. Not a thing out of place. I returned the pen to the bag anyhow. I think I peed someone off by taking it. It was the wildest, unexplainable thing that ever happened to me and changed my perspective that reality might not actually be black and white. Well, I tell you what, Taunton Lake, since doing this podcast, I've learned it definitely isn't black and white. I have to say that I love the stories that I find on Reddit. They're so fascinating and people are so truthful and willing to talk about their experiences. But what I'd really, really like as my New Year's gift from my lovely listeners is for you to call in with your real paranormal experiences. You can call in and leave a voicemail message on 07935 100162. Don't forget, that's 07935 100162. Don't forget also, you can send me a voice note. You can record it on the voice recorder on your phone and email it to me at paranormalorwhatpodcast@outlook.com. And if you have any suggestions of particular topics you'd like me to talk about or people you'd like me to interview, please do send me an email and let me know. Also, don't forget to join the Paranormal or What podcast Facebook page. We always have lots of exciting things on there. At the moment, I've got a saga going on in my kitchen because bread, loaves of bread, keep jumping off the side in my kitchen. And it's happened twice in the last few weeks. And so I've now installed Kitchen Cam in my kitchen to see if I can catch it. We've had some very interesting findings so far. One that my people on my Facebook page helped me to debunk, which was tiny little flies from my chili plants kept going onto the camera and they looked like black shadows, but we managed to debunk that. There was one particular video that's on the Facebook page where there is a white kind of blobby flash on my kitchen wall, which we can't explain because everybody was in bed at the time. And other interesting happenings, which I will put on there as Kitchen Cam captures them. So why don't you go and tune in and tell me what you think? So take care, everybody, and I will see you next week. I was meant to do Dry January, but I've sadly failed already. So we're doing Dry Weekdays. So, if you're a bit like me, go and get yourself a tot of something hot and spicy. If you're a really good boy or a good girl, go and get yourself a nice cup of tea, coffee, or herbal tea. And I'll speak to you soon. Take care, everyone. Night.